Tonight I want to read you a letter. It's Donna Roberson's January letter. You may have gotten it, but the name of her ministry is Beautiful Thunder Ministries. But I want to read this to you. It's really short, and she always sends out awesome encouragement letters every month. So I just want to read this to you. I know it'll bless you. It is now January 15th. I can't believe that 2014 is already gone. I've been thinking a lot about how things have gone and what I want to change in this new year. I don't make a lot of New Year's resolutions because if I don't succeed in them, the enemy comes quickly to condemn me. I'd rather just purpose in my heart to do better and let each day draw me closer to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The biggest attack I've seen the enemy using this past year has been on people's minds. So many people are battle-weary and are on the verge of giving up. They lose hope, and hope deferred causes the heart to be sick. Just as Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. The devil knows that when we're tired and weary, it's easier to convince us to give up. But that is the time we need to push in and let the devil know that God is faithful and we will not quit or give up. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't give up, I believe we're going to see God move in a mighty way this year. I want to encourage you to stay and make a stand in God's presence, in His will. His love, faithfulness, and mercy haven't changed. He wants us to succeed in Him. The lack of peace I see in so many Christians right now really bothers me. We need to remember what the prophet Isaiah said, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isaiah 54:10. I am in the process of shutting every door in my life that the enemy may try to come through this year, and these doors don't always appear to be bad things. They could just be things that steal time I could be spending with the Lord. In my life, I want to decrease so the Lord can increase. Amen. Let's not forget what Jesus said in John 14:26-27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit will help us shut the doors that we need to shut, because the devil is forever and will always be looking for an opening in our lives to attack. Jesus goes on to say in John 14:30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Hallelujah. We can overcome this world just like Jesus did. The scripture says so in 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is my hope that each one of us sees victory in every situation in our lives, and we will, and give all the praise and all the honor and all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year. Thank you, Donner. Thank you, Lord, for those encouraging words. We exalt you, Jesus. And that's just what we're going to do tonight. We're going to give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise to our Lord Jesus, because you have overcome the world, Lord. And we are born of you, and we overcome the world too, Jesus, through you. Through you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We exalt you. And we bless your holy name tonight.
We present
you. We welcome you. We welcome you. My God and Savior, my Prince of Peace, I worship you, God. I worship you. I love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We've gathered together with one heart and one mind for one purpose, Lord, and that is to worship you, to exalt you, to give you glory that is due to you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. We exalt you, Jesus. You are our God.
You have healed us.
You are our God. We have been redeemed by you.
spiritual blessings.
We have been saved by you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for forever, Lord. Thank you for eternal life to be with you, Jesus. We worship you.
We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We praise and magnify your holy name. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Leo said a few minutes ago, he said, let's line up the wheelchairs. This is the year of power. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I said, this is the year of power.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to you.
Hallelujah.
Your glory.
Lisa, you want to come up here? Lisa presented a prayer cloth that she'd like for us to pray over for her boyfriend's grandfather. He's having open heart surgery tomorrow. Okay. Would you please come? Would you come? Hallelujah, Miss Barbara. And he needs salvation. And he needs to live and not die. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God into this handkerchief. Follow it, Father. Follow it, Father, with the Holy Ghost. I release the power of God now in Jesus' name. Live and not die. And also be saved, be healed. As he said, so I say unto you, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up and walk. Father, in the name of Jesus, thy sins be forgiven. Rise up and walk. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe. Amen. Amen. You going to try to get that to him? Okay. All right. Tonight, you said? Or? Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Does anybody else need prayer before we? Anything else? Anybody else? Let's just lift those hands and magnify him for his glory. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Would you give somebody a hug this evening? Hallelujah. Give somebody a big, big hug. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Dave wants me to greet all of you. I talked to him today. So he said to say hi. So from Pastor Dave, hello.
Hello.
And, hola. And Jim Martin also says hi. He's coming. Jim Martin. The end of February will be here, the last Sunday in February. And also Pastor Neil Owen from Canada is coming the first Sunday in February. And so please be in prayer for these meetings. He'll be here just one day, Sunday morning and Sunday night, Neil. And then Pastor Jim and Kathy Martin will be here the last Sunday through Wednesday of that week in February. And also, I just want to encourage any of you that, if you don't know, Pastor Jim has a conference in March that's coming up that will be a very powerful conference. Gary will be speaking. I probably will be speaking. They're scheduled to have Pastor Dave there, and hopefully he'll be there. So any of you that wanted to attend, just there's all the information necessary on his website, and I can provide some of that I already know for you. So see me later. But we'd love for you to travel up there with us. And it's just a great time in the Spirit. It's just a really, really powerful time in the Spirit. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We've started having Friday night prayer again after a sabbatical. So we want you to please come out and be a part of that and confess the word with us. And stay and pray. Carl was like, where's everybody at? After a while last Friday night. So if Carl needs some partners to stay with him for a while. So come out and challenge. Have a duel with Carl and see if you can outstay him. Those are good competitions. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark 4 for a little bit. Hallelujah. And I understand that Sunday night was just really, really good again. So Homer's teaching a discipleship class that his wife rings the bell on. Alex is ringing the bell. But it's an hour long, supposedly. And that's, I guess, my cue to start. Stop rambling. Hallelujah. Homer's really been helping me out. We thought he might share tonight, but who knows, he may share Sunday. So he's always on standby. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way. Father, we just love you. We thank you for your great grace, for the days that we're living in and where we're headed. You're teaching us a walk of the Spirit like we've never known before. It's a walk of faith. Sometimes it's an every moment, every minute, depending upon you, your word. But Lord, the word says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So it is an honor, Lord. It's an honor to be able to just trust in you continually. It's an honor to put our heart in your hands and believe, Father, that you're always there and that your Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to turn to Matthew or Mark chapter 4. I think, is that, you're already there? Okay. Hallelujah. So thank you, Father, for your word and open it up again to us tonight. Let's look at verse 1. These are familiar scriptures to most of us. But if this is new to you, sometimes we assume that what we have taught for many years is heard by everybody, but we hope that wherever you're at, that you receive from it tonight. Yes. Verse 1 says, and he, that is Christ, he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, what we really want to do is we want to continually try to bring the Word of God into a real visible state. And when I read the Word, what I try to do is visualize. You know, we can read the Word so many times, but every time we read the Word, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to cause the Word to become real to us. Because otherwise, it can become just a fairy tale. Otherwise, you can repeat something so much. It's not just the repetitive process in and of itself. It's a dependency continual upon the Holy Spirit to place the Word of God in us in a reality so that when we're in it, we're really there, that we see. These things happened. They really did happen. This is a spiritual book, but they literally, there was a man, his name was Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, a human being with a human spirit that was baptized in the Holy Ghost, sinless all his life. He literally existed, and we need to take this word as literal, but we see the spiritual side of it too, and that spiritual side is applicable to every part of our life. Though he was there 2,000 years ago, it transfers into us today. So this man, Christ Jesus, this man that we love, we're seeing him, he's sitting in a boat, and he's sitting probably just 20, 30 feet offshore. And he did that to kind of repel himself from the crowd so he'd have room to minister. And so he sits down and in this boat, and he begins to teach them. And he began to teach them all day long, and he began to teach them parables. Well, we have one of those parables in front of us. And one of those parables, in fact, that he goes on to say is kind of a chief among the parables. In other words, it's a key to open a lot of doors of understanding that the Holy Spirit begins to, if you begin to understand this first parable and you really begin to get it in your spirit, then the Holy Spirit begins to use that as a foundation for your life to understand a whole lot and everything else, really, that Jesus teaches throughout his ministry. And the word says he taught them in verse 2 many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. And everybody say doctrine. Doctrine. Say this with me. Doctrine is very important. You know, some people think doctrine isn't important, but it's vital. It's vital. In fact, the way that the enemy destroyed the first church was after the apostles and after good men after the apostles, he began to come in and try and did successfully remove the doctrine from the first church. And that's why there was 1,000 years of darkness, 1,000 years. Can you believe that after what we read, it's really hard to believe this, but it's historically true, that after the power that we see in Acts, after the extreme explosive power that we see in Acts, all the things that took place and the doctrine of the apostles, can you believe that they would go from that power, that mankind would go from that power to a state on the earth where the born-again teaching was really predominantly not being taught in the church? It had to go underground. The big mega church, now God's always had a people throughout the ages, and people have always, but the word was taken away from the people and put in the papacy or the priests. They took it out of the hands of the people, and so it actually took a man many centuries later, Martin Luther, to come to a place where he began to get the revelation that we could be justified by grace, by our trust in Jesus Christ. Can you believe that people would ever go to a place it would become so dark that not only would the power of the Holy Spirit not being taught in the church, but actually the born-again experience was not being taught in the church? Well, Satan has always been after doctrine. But And again, today, in 2015, he's after doctrine. It's very important what you believe. It really is very important what you believe. And you'll talk to some Christians, and they say, well, there's a real strong move of the Spirit there. They're off in a lot of places in their doctrine, but there's a strong move in the Spirit. Listen, it's very important that the two agree. It's vitally important. So before you jump into anything because you say, man, God's in that place and God's presence is in there, before you jump in wholeheartedly, make sure you understand what their doctrine is. Always. Hallelujah. Jesus was a man of doctrine. And Jesus began to teach this doctrine. He began to say this, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that it sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah. And he said, Jesus said unto them, while he's sitting in this boat, and he's looking at this crowd, and I don't know how big that crowd was. Maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, because it was said it was a great multitude. And a lot of people followed Jesus. So I'm sitting in that crowd. I'm sitting there. Actually, I'd like to be in his boat with him. That's where I'm sitting. Hallelujah. So I'm visualizing myself sitting in that boat. There were other little boats around him. And the Bible tells us that in a little bit. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, verse 9, let them hear. Well, let us hear tonight. Let our ears hear. And let us hear and continue to hear. Let us continue to hear. Because we've heard before, but we need to continue to hear. And when he was alone, when Jesus was alone, they that were with, or that were about him, with the 12, so they that were with him, or about him, with the 12, asked him the parable. So it doesn't sound like it's just the 12. It was others and the 12 also. But it wasn't the magnitude of the crowd. It wasn't the big crowd. In other words, they had, it had to be later on in the day, and the word tells us that he did speak to them privately later on in the day. Jesus said to them in verse 11, he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? And of course he's teaching them, as I said, privately. And he said unto them, this is what the subject of the matter is. The sower soweth the what? The word. The sower soweth the word. Now, to start with, he said, what I'm teaching you is the word of God. Teaching you the word of God. And he says the sower is sowing the word of God. Now, usually and most often we talk about that the word is sown into you. You hear a teaching, and you receive or don't receive that teaching, or from the very beginning, you receive salvation by the word of God. First Peter tells us that we were born again by that incorruptible seed, and it tells us that it's the word of God that begat us, that caused us to come into, in fact, the word, in truth, I should say, when the word talks about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we generalize that, and it's perfectly fine, because that is how the word is increased in us. But specifically, what it's talking about there is that the word of faith that borns us again, that births us again, what gives us the faith to become born again is the word that was preached unto you. Faith for salvation cometh by the word that was preached unto you. And so somebody sometime sowed the word in you, and you receive that word. But what we do have to get past is this, that we have a mentality that somebody else, like myself or a pulpit, is the one that is supposed to be sowing the word into us. Who is the greatest sower of the word in your life? Now, you can spiritualize this and say God, but I'm talking about on this earth. Who's supposed to be the greatest sower of the word? Who? Okay. There's some people are pointing to the... You are the most responsible person on planet earth, not your pastor, not any other preacher. You're the one that's supposed to be sowing the word inside of you on a daily basis, more than anybody else. You're the one. That's why it's so important that this word stays in front of you on a continual basis. Because when you're reading the word of God or you're meditating the word of God, you're sowing the word inside of you. You're continually sowing the word inside of you. Now, yes, the word is sown tonight, or yes, the word is sown when Homer teaches, or any of your favorite ministers. But the greatest sower of the word is you yourself. It's a responsibility that every one of us have on a continual basis. And Jesus said this, and these are they, verse 15, by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh, how quickly? How quickly does he come? Immediately. And this is carried out through all these verses, the understanding of this, I'm sure, that he cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, in Matthew chapter 15 or 13, it says that because they did not understand the word, it was taken away immediately. In other words, these weren't even born again. They didn't even understand the word of reconciliation. They did not understand, and immediately he takes, because they did not understand it, they didn't understand the salvation, or that Satan blocked their minds. Paul said this, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. And so immediately when the testimony goes out, they don't understand. There's a blockage there because their hearts are not yielding. And so Satan takes the word away from them. In verse 16 it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with what? They receive it with gladness. And the word says that they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for what? A time. And afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, what? Immediately they are offended. Now, why does affliction and persecution come? Why? For what? The word's sake. See, here's the thing, and we've said this before, but this is the thing that we have to continually get inside of us. It's not you so much per se that Satan hates. What he hates more than anything else, why he comes after you, is to destroy the word inside of you, or to take the word from you. And he'll do it any way possible. He'll do it through, it says here, because they have no root. Now look what it says in verse 17 real closely, and have no root in themselves. Isn't this amazing? It says no root in themselves. It says that specifically in themselves because it's trying to share with us our responsibility to get a root inside of us, to get a root of the Word of God inside of us. See, it's all about the maturation, how long it can stay. Because if it can stay, because all of it's going to be tested. All of what you receive as the sower into your own life, or somebody else sows it, and the Holy Spirit's the one that's really the teacher. We know that. He's the only teacher. But it's all about how long it will stay. Because if it can stay long enough to get past persecutions and afflictions and to last past those, then it's going to begin to produce. It will produce. It will finally produce in your life and ultimately produce. But it says here in verse 17, and have no root, these that fall away after a period of time, the maturation or the maturing. When I say maturation, I'm talking about maturing. The maturing process of the Word didn't last long enough in their life that the afflictions and persecutions, it says, have no root in themselves. You create. Do you know you're the one that creates the root? You're the one, by your own choice, who creates the root. How deep that root goes depends entirely on you. It doesn't depend on God. It said it doesn't mention God here in that sense. It's saying you have no root in the ones that fall away. They have no root in themselves because they did not take the time to keep the Word of God in front of them and continually sow the Word, inside of them to where that it continually produced to a place where it was a root, a deep root. And so endure for a time. See, that's what it's all about. How long can you last? Well, I've been born again. That's right. There's a lot of Christians that are out there that are defeated Christians. They're defeated. They're powerless. Sin has, it just runs over them. We know if you're born again, there's no excuse for sin. There's no excuse. Even without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? Even without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can say no to sin, and sin cannot overcome you. But nevertheless, it helps tremendously to have the Word of God living on the inside of you. Praise God. They endured for a time, and afterwards, when afflictions and persecution, it's all about them. Affliction means pressure. How many of you ever felt pressure? Well, what's the pressure for? Well, the devil hates me. Yeah, not really. He does. But what he does is he hates the Word of God. Because if that Word keeps enduring long enough, you're going to come to a place where you really realize that you have the power over the devil. And the Word can answer every question in your life if you keep sowing it and keep sowing it and keep sowing it. The sower soweth the Word. And if the enemy can't take it, it's going to answer every word in your life or every question in your life. The Word is going to answer every question. And the Word says here in verse 18, and these are they that are sown. And here's another group. Jesus says, he's teaching his disciples, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and what? The cares of this world, and what? The deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. And the word, you know, the lust of other things, the word, or the actual Greek says, in the lust of other things, it actually says the remaining ones. In other words, what everything else didn't get, the remaining ones will get if you don't continue to sow the Word of God inside of you and if you don't stay on the Word of God. And it says this, and these are they which are sown on, verse 20 says, on what? Hallelujah. Everybody say, that's me. That's you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. Hallelujah. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, when Jesus is teaching this, here's the thing. It's not that so much. Now, some people have maybe more than others based on what they come out of. And when I say more than others, what I'm talking about is strongholds in the soul. Once you get born again, there are no second-class citizens as far as born again. In other words, you can't almost get born again. Either you get born again or you're not. And the quality of what you got is just as quality as anybody on the planet Earth. There's no second class. God has no stepchildren. It's all perfect. What happened to you? But where the thorns and the thistles and the stones and all that stuff that has the potential. In other words, what I'm saying is, once you're born again, everybody is potentially good ground. Everybody is. It's not like God looks at it and say, okay, there's some that are good and there's some that are bad. What qualifies you to be good ground is what you do with the Word of God.
Because everybody that's born into the kingdom, potentially, everybody is good ground, and also everybody is potentially has the capacity to allow thorns and thistles, rocks and stones, all these other things that defeated everybody else from the very beginning. Everybody has the potential to let that stuff in the soul realm, in the flesh realm, rise up and take the word of God out of you. So it's up to you with what, well, am I good ground? That's up to you. You're good ground from the start because the Holy Spirit come in there. But the place where the problem lies is in the flesh. So will you allow your spirit to feed on the Word of God to where that it continually matures and grows? Or will there be a place where you say, no, I'm just gonna live off of, you know, last year's manna? And what happens there is Jesus said over a period of time that things can rise up, and it says here, for a period and afterwards, when afflictions and persecution, well, afflictions and persecution are coming. They always come. It's up to us what we do with them. The cares of this world, in verse 19, they always come. Deceitfulness of riches. Somebody says, I have not been tried with that one yet. The lust of other things entering in choke the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Your good ground in this, that the Holy Spirit came into your spirit, birthed you. But what you do with that, according to the Word of God, will make a major part in your future of what kind of ground that you are, because you get to be the one who chooses. And they bring forth fruit, those that are good ground, some 30, 60, and 100 fold. And Jesus said this in verse 21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Well, what is the candle? Your spirit. But what have we been talking about here? Because so in context, this is how Dave taught us by the Holy Spirit. What is the whole message of what Jesus has been talking about? He's been talking about the Word, the Word, the Word, what it does for you. Makes you good ground, or, you know, lack of it will make you bad ground. The Word, Word, Word. So specifically, in context, the Word is the candle here. Once that Word comes in, but also, just read to you, because the Word and this, what happens in your spirit, I'll read this, you don't have to turn there. But it says in 1 Peter, that one verse that I was trying to quote, it says in 1 Peter 1:23, says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the what? By the word, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, comes in there and creates that born-again spirit. So you're not really wrong when you say that it's your spirit as well, because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But it takes that Word coming in there, and when that Word comes in there, Jesus says that it is a candle brought to be put, as he says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel. That's a bushel basket, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. See, this is the light of the Word. Once it enters into your spirit, then you're born again by that Word. But that is a continuation process throughout your entire Christian walk. Is the light of the Word in your born-again nature begins to illuminate you. Look what it says. For there is nothing hid that shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. How many of you know that God wants all of His Word to be revealed to you? Sure. All of it. He wants it all, nothing. He doesn't want anything hid from you. But really, you can look at this in a double meaning as well, is not only does He not hold anything back from you in the illumination process, but anything in those prior verses that kept other people from moving forward, that broke them down, the thorns, the thistles, the stones, what happens is as you pray in tongues, and as the Holy Spirit illuminates you through the Word of God in the candle of your spirit, which has been lit by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and says, look, here's a thorn seed in your life. Here's something there, little one. You're born again. You love God. You're going to heaven. But you know what? What stopped others won't stop you, because there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. In other words, the Word not only is there for all of it to be understood, but it's also there to illuminate you so that you don't crash and burn 20 years later or 10 years later. So that as you're praying in tongues and as you continue to meditate the Word of God, everything will be illuminated to you. Praise God for the safeguard that we have in Christ Jesus. If we just keep our nose in this Word. Hallelujah. And I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Preaching to myself, stay in this Word, stay in this Word, because if you stay in the Word, here's your safety. What kept other people for after a while, they burn out because they had no root in themselves? What caused others to quit after a while because afflictions and cares? And, you know, we're not condemning anybody. I mean, my mind's not trying to go to any place, but we have seen, and we're just one church, but we've seen a tremendous revolving door through the years, through 17, 18 years. What causes one to survive and go on and thrive? And thank God they're all coming back. We're believing that, okay? And nobody's condemned. But what keeps somebody straightforward, going forward, is that you stay in the Word and stay in it long enough that there's a root inside of yourself. And also, it not only is building that root inside of you, it's also revealing where the shortcomings, well, you say, I know where my shortcomings are at. Usually you don't know the ones, but the ones that really trip you up, you usually don't know. I mean, the ones that'll stop. Because if you did, they would not have stopped. You know, the people would not have stopped. But they didn't see it before they got blindsided. And then before long, you know, they don't believe. They don't believe in what we're teaching here, or they get offended at this, that, and the other. Hallelujah. But there is a revival coming, and they're coming back. So I want to be good ground, and I want to stay in the Word. And though I don't like it so much, sometimes, I want to say sometimes, all the time, but I do like it when the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, says, okay, there is a thorn seed there, and there's a thorn seed there. How many thorn seeds do you have, Pastor? As Homer said, and as Gary said, it's none your business, okay? And Homer said, if you'll tell me 5 of yours, well, I'm telling you, if you'll tell me 10 of yours, I'll tell you 1 of mine. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 21 again, or 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto he that hears, unto you that hears, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. He's teaching this all at the same time in this boat. I mean, if you look, he never has moved yet. I mean, he's staying right there. Verse 11 says, and he said unto them, he's teaching. And 13 says, and he said unto them, he's continuing to teach out of the boat. Verse 21, he said unto them. Verse 24, and he said unto them. Verse 26, and he said unto them. Verse 30, and he said unto them. He's still sitting in the boat. He's still saying these same things. He's still teaching on the Word of God. And this is how he says in verse 26, and so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep. What seed? What are we talking about? Word. We're talking about the Word. Praise God for the Word of God. He's casting seed into the ground, and it should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. Praise God, it's not with our natural mind. We don't even understand how this works sometimes. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, and then what? Then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth a sickle because of the harvest. And I love what he says here. He says in verse 28, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. They asked Smith Wigglesworth one time, what is the key to your faith? What is the key to faith? And he said this, first the blade, then the ear, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. That's it. It's all a maturing process. Nobody starts out full grown. It's all a continual maturing process. In verse 8 in this same chapter out of the Amplified, it says this, another seed of the same kind fell on good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times as much, 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as has been sown. Hallelujah. Can you imagine where you start out in the Word of God? Now, when I read the Word, I believe that I believe it. But to my tremendous surprise, sometimes when I speak, the mountain doesn't go away as quickly as it should. Well, that's not the Word's fault. That's not God's fault. And I can't even blame it on the devil. There's only one person that has the capacity to change, and that's me. The devil's always going to be the devil. He's going to hell. He's loosed for a while, but he's going to be incarcerated forever. He's not going to the same place that I'm going to. Praise God, or you're going to. God, we know he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is one with himself. He cannot lie. So there's only one that can change, and that's me. Now, I believe this word when I see it. I believe that I believe it, and I should start off with the faith that I believe it. But can you imagine if this word goes to 100 times more than what was sown? 100 times more. In fact, the Amplified doesn't really do it justice, because it's not just 100 times more. It's inexhaustible. It's totally inexhaustible. What is sown in you today, if you continue in the Word of God, it will eventually grow the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear to where that all things are possible. Really, all things are possible. And that's where we're headed in this revival. Amen. But we have to stay in the Word of God. And Jesus said in verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? And what shall we compare it? It is as a what? Grain of what? Mustard seed. What's he talking about? Oh, wow. You guys are really getting smart now. He's talking about the Word. What is chapter 4 about? The Word, the Word, the Word. It's like a grain of mustard seed which is sown in the earth and is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and it becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowl of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. All it takes, it's just like praying in tongues. I love the way that the Holy Spirit coined it through Dave. All that faith that is necessary, it's amazing. Praying in tongues is just as supernatural as raising the dead, because it doesn't originate with you. But here's the amazing part. All the faith that is necessary to speak in tongues is for you, which you're born again. I mean, once you're filled, is just to choose to. Just to choose to. Just inwardly say, I mean, a million times a day, and that's exaggeration, but all through the day, I'm praying in tongues. Mentally, I just am choosing continually to be praying in tongues. And that faith will eventually, praying in tongues will eventually take me to where that I want to go. In the same way, it doesn't feel like great faith, but it is faith. It is faith. It doesn't feel like sometimes when you are reading this word that you are getting inside of you everything that's necessary to get the next person out of the wheelchair. But Jesus promised this, that even like a grain of mustard seed, that if you sow it and if it stays there and if it continues to stay there, that it's going to grow into something that is absolutely going to be a total blessing to all the earth. Hallelujah. We might as well finish this chapter. In verse 33 it says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them." Wow. The word. "And they were able to hear. And without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And they said earlier in this chapter, it said, "And when they were alone with him." And this is the same day. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Now that, if you meditate that, you get the picture, okay? He had taught all day long, and he was exhausted. You say, well, he was God in the flesh. He lived out his entire life. He laid down his deity. He's God in there, but God's in there just looking out the eyeballs of a human being. He's not exercising. In other words, he doesn't have a supernatural body like a superhero. He's a flesh being. He's a flesh being like you and us. Had a flesh body like you and us, you and I. And it says he sent they the disciples, not Christ. They sent away the multitude, and they took him even as he was in the ship. Bless God. The little fella was asleep. They took him away just like he was. Shh. I mean, he must have taught until, you know, he was like, oh. He was, they had no bell. He had no bell. And my Lord, that I love so much, he was like, oh. They probably gave him a couple of soft tacos to eat and... And he said, you know, I'm just going to close my eyes for just a minute, guys. And that was it. That was it. And they told him, go. He's asleep. And they took him as he was in his present state, is what it's saying. They took him away in the ship, and he was asleep. And there were also with him other little ships. And those other little ships must have been those other people that were there that he, you know, that heard his exhortations apart from the crowd. And there arose, in verse 37, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. How quick does the word say that Satan comes? Immediately. The devil was mad. He was mad. He was absolutely mad. Now, we know these guys weren't born again, but they had heard the word of God all day long. So that the word says that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. I mean, the ship is full of water and the waves are beating on it and it's coming over, and the wind had to be blowing if the waves are coming in. And this little fellow, even as he was, is so full of peace that he's still asleep. It's a supernatural rest that it's talking about here. He believed everything that he had just preached. He just totally knew it as absolute truth. And they awaken him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Do you know, if we do what he says in all this, in all these other parables, he spoke the parable about what takes one person out and what makes another person good ground. He also talked about how that there was a parable of sowing into the ground and sleeping night and day, sowing the seed. There was also a parable about having the least of seeds and how insignificant it seems. But if we continue to do that, it'll grow into where all the birds of the air lodge. And what it's talking about is it becomes a provision for everything. You become a provision. You're a self. God begins to bring forth such a blessing to your life is that people will come to you. And you say to them, see, it's always going to be by the Holy Spirit. We never can do it in and of ourselves. But I believe that we can be so empowered as Christ was, that in the revival, as we hear Him and see Him, we have the capacity to be led by Him to say, like a fine-dressed waiter, here's the menu, what do you need? What is it that you need? You need healing? Okay. It's resident, that power to raise the dead is resident inside of me. Do you need, whatever you need, God can provide it through my life because of where the maturation or the maturity of the Word of God. And it says here that he said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, Jesus, you know, the Word says to be angry and sin not. Jesus, I know that he just didn't say stuff real melancholy. And he was the most loving. He just loved with legs on it. But when he rebuked his disciples, he rebuked them. And I don't think it was just real passive. I think it was very firm. I know it was very firm. He was like, I just taught you all day long. And why is it that you have no faith? I don't want him saying that to me, especially as a born-again believer. I don't want his rebuke. I'll receive his rebuke. I just don't want it. I want to be hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, I believe this, that the wind and the sea can obey us as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's chapter 4 about? What's the candle of the Lord, or what's the candle that he illuminates you with? Word. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you tonight. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your word. Help us to stay in it. Take us in there tomorrow. Take us in there. Lord, let us continue to stay by the power of your presence. We give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we just pray that if there's anything that to be blessed as far as giving tonight, that you will bless those who bring forth this. We thank you and praise you for the provision that takes place in this house, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. If you have something tonight as you're leaving, please bring it down. And we love you, and we'll see you on Friday. Hallelujah. Amen.